Malik Books. I'm Malik from Malik Books, your community bookstore specializing in African American books and gifts full of cultural diversity. The total African American experience that brings the world together. MalikBooks.com, your place to shop for books. MalikBooks.com. Malik Books is what you
need. This is KBLA Talk 1580, where hate loses and love wins.
We thank Paul David Henderson for unpacking this breaking story. Story broke a day or so ago, but it's an unfolding story about what's happening inside the U.S. Supreme Court. In case you just tuned in, we now know that there was yet another leak outside or from the U.S. Supreme Court. This particular leak was sent not to the whole country. You recall the leak that most recent was the leak about Roe v. Wade, the pending decision that was coming from the court. That leak came out, but it came out in Politico. And because it was leaked to a news organization, it went everywhere. What makes this story that we're talking about today more unique is that it was leaked to a handful of conservative operatives. They were given insight from the court on where this particular case was headed, what was about to happen. And that information was leaked to a handful of conservative operatives in the country. And the story in the New York Times lays out all that they were able to do and plan and prep for. All the moves they were able to make preemptively because of the information they'd received from this leak from the U.S. Supreme Court. And as we said with Paul David Henderson a moment ago, the wife of Justice Samuel Alito somehow involved in this mess, as was the wife of Clarence Thomas, Jenny Thomas, in the January 6th insurrection. So it's an ugly story. Again, it underscores what many of us have been saying for years, that something is afoot here. Now you have this 6-3 supermajority on the court, and these stories continue to come out about all these leaks, stuff that we suspected was happening, and now we know, in fact, has been happening for years inside the U.S. Supreme Court. If that doesn't trouble you, I don't know what does, again, given especially that they now have a 6-3 majority on the court. But these stories are beyond disturbing. It goes, as I said earlier, to the permeability and to the credibility of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that's at the highest level. That is the high court. But as we've been discussing on this program any number of times with Nicordelai Corte, who will join us in just a second, and others, Republicans are also expanding their power in state Supreme Courts. They know where they want to have the fight. They know what their game plan is. And part of their game plan is to accrue as much power as they can in the court system. Because if they can accrue the power they need in the court system, who gets a chance not just to interpret the laws, but essentially to be like Congress and make laws depending on the decisions they put forth, then they can hold on just a little while longer. So it's not just at the level of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's about what's happening also as our Republicans start to pack state Supreme Courts across the country. To that end, I am pleased to welcome into this conversation KBLA's Chief National Political Affairs Analyst and host of KBLA's Sunday morning program, A More Perfect Union, heard Sundays, as you know, on the 10s. Also news anchor for Fox Soul's Nightly Black Report. His introduction is getting way too long. I got to do something about this. he's taking me 5 minutes to get the introduction out. Nicordelai Corte joins us now to unpack the impact that Republicans are having on state policies as they expand power in state Supreme Courts. And we'll talk about this strange story out of South Carolina about what a school board did, a school board of conservatives who had just been elected, what they did in their first meeting in literally 2 hours. I'll unpack that, or let Nicordelai unpack that for you in just a second, but it's going to blow your mind. So a bunch of conservatives get elected to a school board in South Carolina, and in 2 hours, they did the following. We'll unpack that for you in just a second. Nicordelai, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tavis?
I'm well, man. I'm glad to have you on. Always good to hear your voice. And, of course, loving your program every Sunday, More Perfect Union on the 10s here at KBLA. Let me ask you right quick. It's been, a couple months now. How is the Black Report? How are you enjoying your new assignment on Fox Soul?
I'm really enjoying working on the Black Report. I'm enjoying my team at the Black Report. It is a really it's a blessing to be able to take our viewers on a journey across Black America 5 days a week. You know that journey very well because you've done that just about most of your career. And so I feel really blessed to be able to do that, especially in times like this, mm-hmm. where there are so many issues that are so important to our communities. So many issues that we actually have a chance to make a difference on. And so I don't take for granted being invited into people's homes and onto their devices 5 days a week. Well, 6 days a week if you include More Perfect Union. I'm just trying to do my part.
Yeah, no, you're doing that and then some. Before I go to South Carolina, and again, I guess this entire hour I could frame as the conservative movement in this country and what happens inside the Supreme Court and what happens inside of school board meetings. It's all about these conservatives doing everything they can to hold on to whatever authority and power they have. Before I get to this school board in South Carolina, your thoughts quickly here on these Supreme Courts in states across the country who are essentially doing the same thing that the U.S. Supreme Court is doing, packing the courts with conservative members and pushing the agendas they want to push, never mind what the majority of the people in their states have to say or the country has to say. They're pushing these political agendas that ought to be based and rooted in the law. But again, every time the New York Times or some other political or some other outlet breaks a story like this, we see what's really going on behind the scenes. How do you read it?
Well, you know, I think it just underscores the crisis in our courts writ large. And I think one of the most sort of damning examples we see is coming out of the Supreme Court, where we're seeing evidence of yet another leak, this time from Justice Alito. You know, between Justice Alito's wife and Clarence Thomas's wife, ain't the spouses of these Supreme Court justices busy?
Yeah.
and busy really downgrading the public trust in institutions that touches every single one of our lives. And so, you know, Dick Durbin, who is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has not minced words. He has called for passage of legislation that's pending in Congress that would create a code of ethics for the Supreme Court, because currently they are not bound by the same ethics that some of the lower courts are. But even with some of the lower courts being bound to that code of ethics, we don't really see them adhering to them. I mean, just look at the Circuit Court, the Fifth Circuit Court, you know, where judges appointed by Donald Trump have essentially thrown cold water on Biden's attempt to offer student debt cancellation to folks that qualify for that, right? And so we're seeing the hyper we're seeing our court system politicized, hyper politicized, right before our very eyes. And let's not think that that doesn't trickle down to our state Supreme Courts as well, you know. And so right now, conservatives are on a mission to you know, get cases that align with their conservative agenda, to get them routed to the Supreme Court, so that this this conservative court, this Clarence Thomas Court, I don't even think of it as the Roberts Court anymore, the Thomas Court, rules their way. And so it is a really great example of the consequences of every single election. Every single election matters. Who sits in that White House, who sits in the Senate, to be able to confirm judges, not just to the Supreme Court, but to the Circuit Court. That matters. Our governors who appoint to the courts as well, that matters. And so, you know, we got to continue to sort of grin and bear it. But unfortunately, I fear that it's going to get worse before it gets better, Tavis.
Yep. So that's at the court level, be it the state court level or at the U.S. Supreme Court level. We see the way conservatives are packing these courts and, again, advancing their own political agendas, say nothing of expanding rights. They're comfortable to shrink rights and to hold on, again, to whatever power they might be controlling. That's inside the court system. One of the other arenas in this country, one of the other areas in this country where they are conservatives, that is, are pushing aggressively, is to gain seats on school boards. When we think of politics, we think of the presidency, we think of the Senate, we think of the House, we think of governors and offices that have some sort of, you know, these highbrow offices, if I can put it that way. We think of them. What we tend not to think of, and I say we, I mean on the left, progressives, liberals, what we tend not to think of is the power, the authority, the control that school boards have. But that is exactly one of the levels on which, one of the terrains on which conservatives play, and they are playing aggressively because they know that if they can control school boards across the country, they control the minds of our babies. And so it's not just at the court level, at the high court level, it's at the local level. Tip O'Neill once said that all politics are local. Republicans get that. And at the local level, they are running a serious game of stacking the school board. So here's what happened in South Carolina. And when we come forward, we'll get Nee Kwotalai-Kwarte to unpack it for you. But in South Carolina, the Berkeley County School District elected conservatives to run the school board. And in their first meeting, in their very first meeting, they fired the district's first black superintendent. They banned critical race theory. They set up a committee to decide whether certain books and materials should be banned from all the schools and more, all within their first two-hour meeting. Nee Kwotalai-Kwarte will unpack that for us when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.
Conversations that matter. You're listening to Tavis Smiley on KBLA Talk 1580.
All right, Nee Kwotalai-Kwarte, I teed it up for you. Take it away.
Well, Tavis, first of all, let me just say I talked a little bit about this with National Black Justice Coalition Executive Director David John on A More Perfect Union on Sunday, and I'm feeling just as incensed about this story now as I did on Sunday and as I did earlier in the week last week when I reported on it on Fox Soul's Black Report. This is terribly, terribly frightening. And as somebody who started their career working as a field representative for a Los Angeles school board member, I know firsthand the power that school boards have, the power that is bestowed upon them. And to think that, you know, this new majority on the school board in Berkeley County, South Carolina, is going to be at the helm, it's frightening. And it's not just about Berkeley County, South Carolina. Moms for Liberty, they endorsed more than 500 school board candidates across the country this year, 49% of whom have won their races. And so, you know, we're talking about candidates, you know, that were successful in states like Florida, that were successful in states like Arkansas and Michigan, and even my home state of California. And so this isn't just something that's happening in some far out place. This is something that's happening in our backyard. And, you know, I think, well, what about black parents? What about the parents of kids with special needs? What about same-sex parents? What about single parents? What, you know, Moms for Liberty has such a very narrow agenda. And when we say Moms for Liberty, well, which mom? Because I often see white moms out there that have a strong conservative bend, right? And so even just calling themselves Moms for Liberty, I don't think they speak for most mothers out there. What they did, Tavis, was anti-democratic.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that these folks on their first day, their first day in power, within 2 hours, the school board votes to fire the first black superintendent. They terminate the district lawyer's contract. They ban critical race theory, and they set up a committee to decide whether certain books and materials should be banned, of which we know a lot of those books are by black authors.
Oh yeah,
right. And so, you know, let's not pretend that this group does not have an anti-black agenda. That they are advancing at stealth speed. That should be frightening to folks. It's anti-democratic. You know, and this is another teachable moment, you know, for all voters out there, for everybody who believes in democracy, for people that believe, you know, in fairness, right? These people aren't playing fair. They don't really care all that much about the democratic process, right? And, you know, they can't convince me otherwise that what they're doing is not intended to be anti-black.
Yeah. It is head spinning when you consider what Nee Kwotalai just laid out. They did all of that literally in their first meeting and inside of 2 hours. That's a tsunami of activity. And again, when you're pushing an anti-black agenda and you can accomplish all that in your first meeting inside of 2 hours. God knows what's going to happen in the weeks and months to come as this board in Berkeley County, South Carolina, continues to meet. But this is why elections matter. There are repercussions and consequences for the people that we elect. But again, I wanted to just put a finer point on this and to draw your attention, not just to the high court and what conservatives are doing in state courts, but what they're doing at the local level, advancing these agendas inside school boards. Our remaining moments with Nick Quartelai-Corte when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.
Interrogating your assumptions and expanding your inventory of ideas. Let's get back to Tavis Smiley on KBLA Talk 1580.
We can always expect, and I certainly appreciate the fact that Dr. Nick Quartelai-Corte tracks these kinds of issues every Sunday on A More Perfect Union, heard exclusively on this station on the 10s. We are delighted and honored to have him as our chief national political affairs analyst. And oftentimes throughout the day, I will get a text message or an email from Nick Quartelai-Corte, just making sure that I'm aware of what's happening, making sure that I'm aware of something that just broke, making sure that I'm aware of things that ought to be on my document. All the things that I'm doing, all things that he's doing, he still makes it his business to make sure that I'm in the loop on things that matter and that ought to be discussed on this station. And so we thank him for bringing this story certainly to my attention about what's happening at the school board in Berkeley County, South Carolina. That said, I look forward to hearing your show this Sunday. As always, Nick Quartelai, let me close by asking you what we can expect. What are you reporting on today on the Black Report on Fox Soul?
Well, this week we're actually on hiatus. We're enjoying a little bit of a holiday hiatus this week. But we are going to be coming back next Monday, and we're going to be going strong until the Christmas holiday. And so we've got some really, great interviews that we're lining up for you. I don't want to tip my hand too much, but there's a really big interview that we're working on right now that folks are going to hear a lot about. And so stay tuned. Keep your ear to KBLA Talk 1580 and keep watching Foxhole's Black Report. We're cooking up some really, really special stuff for you.
Now, I appreciate it. Good to have you on our program today. Thanks for bringing these stories to us. We always appreciate your insights. And I will talk to you soon. Have a great rest of the day and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you too, Tavis.
Good to have you
Happy
on.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Two more hours to go here on Tavis Smiley. In our next hour, we'll talk to Cheryl Crazy Bull as we continue to pay respect, of course, to Native American Indian Heritage Month. We'll talk to her. She's the president and CEO of the American Indian College Fund. Have a conversation with her about the ways in which this community is still being marginalized, ways in which they are still being rendered invisible, and what ought to be done about the representation of Native people in this country. You've heard me say many times that slavery was not America's first sin. It was not America's original sin. What we did to the Natives was our first crime, our first sin. So we'll talk about that and more in hour two as we celebrate Native American Indian Heritage Month. And then our third and final hour today, a conversation with Grammy Award-winning artist Regina Bell. First time in her career, 35 years plus. She's never put out a holiday album, but it is that time of the year when artists who've never done that before release their Christmas albums, and I look forward to a conversation with Regina Bell in Hour 3 today. This is Tavis Smiley on KBLA Talk 1580.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
Malik Books. I'm Malik from Malik Books, your community bookstore specializing in African-American books and gifts full of culture diversity, the total African-American experience that brings the world together. MalikBooks.com, your place to shop for books. MalikBooks.com.
Malik Books is what you need.